Welcome, everybody. Sorry I'm a bit behind. Today we get to talk about Check the Facts. This is a great session. Several of my clients have told me that this one skill alone, outside of mindfulness, has saved their life. That feels great to hear, knowing that this works and helps the folks that are practicing and noticing a difference is all the more reason to teach DBT. So the three major functions of emotions include what, y'all? Have you folks memorized it yet? I hope so. To motivate and organize us for action, to communicate to others, and to communicate to ourselves. Do you remember going over the five possible responses to any problem? We can solve the problem, change our emotional reactions, radically accept the situation, stay miserable, or make things worse. Have any of you invented new ones? I'm curious to know. It feels easier to make things worse or stay miserable sometimes, doesn't it? I don't deny this. Deciding to be upset is an interesting experience, to say the least. I mean, after you can actually learn to manage emotions and be so skillful, it is very neat to be able to do that when and if you can. In this session, specifically, we will talk about only checking the facts. There are two other skills involved called opposite action and problem solving. One is used when, after checking the facts, you discover that your emotion for the situation isn't justified. That is when we use opposite action. Problem solving is used when you discover your emotion is justified. With Check the Facts, we learn about changing beliefs, assumptions, and interpretations of an event to fit the facts. This can help you change your emotional reactions to it. However, this requires that you first check out the facts, and this is a basic strategy in cognitive therapy and many other forms of therapy. We will also discuss what is called the yes but. Again, you remember, the yeah buts. So why do we even check the facts in the first place? Well, thoughts and interpretations of events and situations, instead of the facts, can set off painful emotions. Beliefs about reality can cause powerful emotions. For example, a person who believes that someone is trying to hurt them may feel very afraid, even if the facts are completely different and the other person is trying to help, not hurt. Faulty beliefs about what we think we need can lead to emotional misery. The example given, I must be in control, instead of, I like being in control better than being out of control. Faulty beliefs about events can cause new problems. The example we give, spending time with your friends means that you do not love me and I should move out of the house. Seems extreme, maybe? Not so fast. We have all had moments of clouded judgment and probably generalized something when we were in a bad mood. Sometimes humans are black and white thinkers. Thinking in absolutes can set off extreme emotions. Again, an example could be, he hates me versus he's pretty annoyed with me right now. It really helps to be able to get to a gray area as well as to be able to determine facts. The exercise we do in group at this point is about finding facts in a small paragraph that we read. It says, your car has had a flat tire off the freeway. You are parked on the side of the road right after an exit ramp. You are standing by your car, hoping someone will stop. You see your best friend, or maybe your mother, your father, cousin, coworker, and you see this person coming up the ramp onto the road in the car alone. You wave and jump up and down. Your friend or whoever it is looks right at you and then speeds up and goes by. How would you feel? What are your thoughts about the situation? So I challenge you to all pause and go back and listen again. What are some of the facts of this situation? We may have some ideas. Lots of folks like to challenge this particular passage. As a group, we have come up with the following facts. Flat tire. Side of the freeway. you jumped up and down. Some of the questions we came up with. Are we certain the person saw us? Have you ever been driving on the freeway and not even really been paying attention to whatever the scenery provided? I am so guilty of this. I don't know if I would be able to piece together who exactly the person on the side of the road is as I am speeding by. Are you even sure it's who you think it is? Aren't they kind of whizzing by? When we are in emotion mind, the maybes and sortas can seem like facts. How would you feel? Would you be pissed off? Confused? Worried? Sad? Think about this now. What if you did find out it was someone in your family, and as they drove by, they yelled out as they slowed, "So-and-so's in the back and they've had a heart attack. I'm on my way to the hospital." And then they speed off. Now how would your feelings about the situation change? The only thing that changed is what your interpretation of the event was. Our emotions can affect what we think about events and how we react to thoughts. Having temporary moods, for example, can influence ideas, memories, perceptions, and interpretations of important events, particularly when the events are complex, unclear, and confusing. The very same information can take on a very different coloring, depending on your current emotional state. When we are angry or annoyed, the cheery friend who calls us up seems more like a pest than a loyal friend. Ugh, ever had that happen? Or how about when we're anxious or scared? The sound of wind rattling our bedroom window sounds like what? Well, think about it. When we're ashamed of making a mistake at work, we may interpret two coworkers laughing in the hall as what? Or when we are sad, we may think a bad grade means. I can almost guess some of the answers that you might have. It all depends on how we are feeling and viewing our outside world. Another reason to check the facts is believing our thoughts are absolute truths can be a recipe for disaster. It is important to keep these things in mind. No one has the absolute truth, okay? Just hear me out. Believing that you know what the absolute truth is, but no one else does, ordinarily leads to conflict and can even precipitate wars. Different opinions on the facts can be valid, even if we don't agree with them. There's always more than one way to see a situation and more than one way to solve a problem. Two things that seem like opposites, or they are opposites, can both be true. Meaning and truth evolve over time, just like your evolution of knowledge through the years of school. Things change and take on new meanings for many of us as we grow older. Knowing the facts is essential for solving problems. If you have incomplete knowledge of the facts or faulty beliefs about the facts, it can interfere with your problem solving. The example, in my opinion, is funny. If you believe your roof is not leaking when it is leaking, this means that the roof will not be replaced, most likely. Or believing that you failed an exam because the grading was unfair, when in reality it was because you didn't study, means that you may not study for the next exam. Is this making sense so far? I sure hope so. Examining your thoughts and checking the facts can change your emotions. When you respond to incorrect facts, learning the correct facts can and often does change your emotions. Knowing the actual facts of a situation can help you problem solve emotional situations. So basically, knowing the facts can help you change the facts. Pretty cool, huh? Okay. So how in the world do we do this? There are steps, of course. And you'd want to ask and answer the following questions in order. Number one, what is the emotion I want to change? Number two, what is even prompting my emotion? Number three, What are my interpretations, thoughts, and assumptions about this event? Number 4, am I assuming a threat? And number 5, what is the catastrophe? Number 6, does my emotion and or its intensity fit the actual facts? I'm going to give the emotions we track on our diary card and their definitions according to DBT. We have anger, which is being attacked or having an important goal blocked. Disgust is being contaminated by a person or an object. Fear is encountering danger to life, health, and or well-being. Sadness, losing something permanently or not attaining goals. Shame, being kicked out of your community. Guilt, going against your own values. Jealousy, someone else taking away a valued person or thing. And finally, envy, wanting what others have and seeing others that have substantially more power, influence, and belongings. So with these steps in checking the facts, step one asks literally what emotion you want to change. It's pretty hard to do a check the facts if you don't know what the actual emotion is. Facts about a situation might fit one emotion, but not another. So reviewing a handout like number 6 can be very helpful at this point. I uploaded that to the Facebook page. Pay careful attention to current thoughts, physical sensations, posture, action urges, and verbal statements when you are reviewing ways to describe emotions. Step 2 is asking what the prompting event that sparked the emotion is. We want to be in reason mind as much as we can on this step. This is only about the facts. We want to challenge judgments, extremes, and absolute black and white descriptions. A prompting event can be an event outside of yourself or an internal event, such as a previous emotion, series of thoughts, or an ability or inability to do a task. A prompting event can be a secondary reaction to a previous emotion, maybe anger at yourself for feeling afraid. It can be a result of a thought, maybe feeling guilty about judgmental thoughts about someone. Lack of ability can spark shame. Perhaps you can't remember someone's name you work with. Or your own actions can spark joy by having played well at a piano recital. Your mental description of the event, rather than the event itself, may be the actual prompting event. Have any of you ever heard the expression, "The issue isn't the issue, it's how you feel about the issue"? Then we would go on to move on to asking, what are the interpretations, thoughts, and assumptions about the event? Often we jump to conclusions and add an interpretation to fact, and then we tend to act on that conclusion rather than the facts. Common mistake among humans. Rather than be direct and ask fact-finding questions, we sometimes get stuck with our assumptions and interpretations. You'll want to consider all other possible interpretations. Practice looking at all sides of a situation and all the different points of view. Here's some examples. Anger, listening to a person express disappointment in something you do. That's the fact. And thinking the person is trying to control you. That would be the interpretation. What about disgust? Seeing a man looking at you through your window from across the street is the fact. Thinking he's a sexual predator is an interpretation. Love, realizing a person wants to have sex with you. That's a fact. And assuming the person is in love with you. Yes, that's an interpretation. Shame, dropping the ball in a game. There's the fact. And then deciding you're a loser is the interpretation. See how easy we can get lost in assumptions? We have all had this experience at some point in our lives. It's hard to admit, but it's a real issue, and working through it with this skill is most effective. Step 4 on checking the facts is about assuming a threat. And how we do that is, once we have come up with the most likely interpretation, we try to find the threat associated with that. Ask yourself whether you are imagining a threatening event or outcome. Painful emotions are almost always related to some type of threat. What negative outcomes might you be anticipating from the event? Often, we are not even aware that we are assuming some sort of threat. It just makes sense in our mind. That is why this is particularly important when we have checked all the facts and are still having a very hard time with intense emotions. This is a clue that our current emotion may be a secondary emotion, and it may be very important to figure out what nonverbal threat we are actually reacting to. Evaluate the chances that the threatening event will really happen. Often, what seems threatening at first glance is not so threatening once we think about it in wise mind. Consider this. What was the outcome previous times you've had a similar thought? The example given, you have a headache. You think, I probably have some terrible disease. You'll want to remind yourself that you have had many headaches in the past, and they were not serious and went away before long. Observe the problem situation after first calming down. You may need to use some mindfulness or distress tolerance skills to be able to do this change skill. Checking facts is pretty hard, if not impossible, in the context of really high SUDS. So when you can, you want to ask questions, seek more information, check and review the known facts of the situation. Here's another helpful example. A coworker walks by and doesn't acknowledge you in the mall. You may think, she doesn't like me. So you'd want to seek info. Ask her if she saw you. Whoa, what a concept. Perform experiments in the real world to see how factual your worries are about the events. In group, a member commented, what if the coworker says no, and I don't believe them? Great, do another check the facts. Ask yourself how much you value that particular relationship. Ask what the patterns have been like in the past. Maybe they have lied before, maybe not. Is this an important friend? Is it important to you that the person tells you if they saw you? Think of as many other possible outcomes as you can. The simple act of coming up with other outcomes can increase your belief that alternate outcomes are in fact possible. Here's another fabulous example. When told by your boss that she would like to meet with you, you think, I'm getting fired. This is when you'd want to generate alternative outcomes. Maybe she's going to ask for the status of a project you're working on, or if you can stay late to help her with a different project that is due tomorrow. She's going to give a bonus for all the overtime put in this year. See how that works? Step 5 is asking what the catastrophe is. What if the threatening event actually does occur? What even is catastrophizing? Well, this is exaggerating the negative characteristics of the facts and focusing on the worst possible, most distressing, or hopeless parts of a situation. This can and does increase both the physical and emotional pain of a situation. So ask yourself, if the worst outcome does occur, what are the realistic consequences? Sometimes the facts are every bit as bad as we think they are. Yet, we often make a bad situation worse when we catastrophize the facts. Try imagining coping well with catastrophes. See yourself coping by problem solving, using a cope ahead, or practicing radical acceptance. There are specific handouts to these issues, and you can buy the workbook in a PDF form or spiral-bound soft cover. It's a lifesaver in my opinion. Step 6 in Check the Facts says, does my emotion and or its intensity fit the actual facts? Emotions evolved as a way for individuals to respond effectively to common problems. There are common situations likely to elicit each of the basic emotions. When this happens, the emotion is likely to be useful in the situation, or it is likely to fit the facts. Often, the problem is not with a specific emotion, it is with the intensity of the emotion, like how big it gets and how long it lasts. Here's an example of intensity not fitting the facts. You get laid off at work and react as if you've been sent into a lifetime of poverty. A person cuts ahead of you into a grocery line, and you react as if the person has physically attacked you. You must be on the lookout for middle of the night thinking. You know, when your brain is either dead asleep and wakes up with groggy and confused thoughts, or when you've been up for hours struggling with anxiety, not sure what the right answer is, as your cute poor brain ruminates until you pass out exhausted. Checking the facts is absolutely necessary when we want to change our emotions. It can be super hard to do. So here's an example of an entire check the facts. We will start with our emotion. Let's do anger. My anger at the start of my check the facts is at a 65 out of 100. Here's my prompting event. Last week, one of my stepkids came home and said they might move to Las Vegas with their mom and stepdad. I can rewrite that to say, on Thursday last week, my stepson said, my stepdad got a job offer in Las Vegas and we are going to look at houses over Christmas break. My interpretations: this is unfair. I'm so upset. How could this happen? Everyone has just finally settled into their jobs and schools. This is crazy. I'm really mad. This is so inconsiderate of everyone. You see how I was in reason mind for the prompting event? I went into emotion mind for my interpretations. Let them fly. Now we think of other perspectives. Maybe try to see from their mom's side of things. They don't have their stepdad around with how much he travels. They want to secure an opportunity. The kids are small enough, they will adjust. They want to have a whole family and be more consistent. They want to save money on traveling since he goes down for work often. They won't just leave without telling us. Flights are generally not too expensive. We can all maybe travel. If they move again, they may do it and go farther away. So, with all those other perspectives, I'm going to choose the most likely interpretation. They moved once, they may move again. The threat of this: their father and I may not be able to move far away. It will be harder to see the kids and he will become depressed. If he gets depressed, I may get depressed, and we then start to isolate and wallow in our sadness. This could lead to a mental health breakdown. And I will feel ultimately like I failed as a step-parent. Whew, see all that stuff? So the catastrophe is they will leave and we will become uselessly sad and depressed, unmotivated to live and have a life that's not worth living. My anger does actually fit the facts because my goal of staying in Utah and raising this family is blocked. So now we decide ways to cope. I would use all my DBT skills, especially distress tolerance, mindfulness, problem solving, opposite action, and radical acceptance. This is a very difficult skill when first trying to navigate it. This check the facts. Don't beat yourself up if it's not making perfect sense. I've been doing this for over a year, and I just finally figured it out entirely and can now feel successful teaching it and living by it. So this week, be checking your facts. Look into getting a workbook you can use to troubleshoot and practice your skills with. If you can see a DBT therapist, it's highly recommended. They can help you process your emotions and help you learn to be as skillful as possible. Because let's face it, life without skills kind of sucks, in my humble opinion. Hell, even in my professional opinion, skills rule. Use your skills. Thanks for joining me today. I appreciate the support and patience. I am working quite a few hours at two different jobs, and I have a family with lots of mini docs and doggies. This was supposed to be a college project, and I have often wanted to quit writing and recording. I notice a ton of guilt with my inability to stay on a strict schedule. I truly hope you can all forgive me and practice your skills. Thanks for listening. I don't want to sound like I am a victim, because all of this I certainly chose. I just noticed that it is more difficult than I had originally anticipated. See you all next time. Send me your thoughts, your comments, and feedback. I recently read that I speak too fast, so I am trying to slow down a bit. And I am still working on transcripts. As silly as that sounds, it's a lot of work. You can reach me anytime at uofudbt@gmail.com. Next episode will focus on opposite action. That's a really fun one, and I know I say that about all of them. See you next time on DBT Weekly. Thanks for joining me.